What's this? A cougar and a ute sharing the same podcast? That can only mean you're listening to State of Sports Utah with Jason Stoll and Jake Lukler.
Just insert some terrible funeral music right here, because I feel like it's so appropriate. Everybody, guys, welcome in to the second to last episode of the season.
Well, regular season.
Streaming. I mean, the bowl game's gonna kind of. Yeah, I guess we gotta
do a bowl game episode,
and a post game. All right.
Yeah.
All right. But
there's a couple more. We're not done yet.
I'm. We're sunk, man. We're dead. We might as well just. The season can just end tomorrow. It's terrible.
Hey. No need for sad sacking, man. It's good. All is well.
Well, for some of us, all is well. No, you guys. We're excited to welcome you into this, our 20th episode.
Woo!
Had to shout that out. 20 episodes. That's
20!
Pretty fun.
20 in.
Couple tough weeks. At least 1 week for Utah fans. Two if you're a BYU fan. But some tough losses. It's never fun. I mean, I guess we can kind of get into those losses. From weeks 9 and 10. So BYU traveled into some hostile territory for back-to-back weeks, and it did not go well. you know, Texas is really good. They have, I think a legitimate shot at being, you know, in the playoffs, competing for, you know, depending on what happens in the Big 12 title game. But they're legit, and they definitely looked at their red zone defense. Insane. And definitely hurt BYU. And it's been interesting because, like, I feel like a lot of those offensive issues that we've kind of been skirting around because of forced turnovers and some things like that have just slowly caught up to us, and
they always do.
They do, and those offensive problems, you know, definitely impacted the game versus Texas and made it so that even when our defense was playing good, we could just never catch up to that. And West Virginia, it was just like, everything went to pot, man. Like, everything, like, defense did not play well. It just was a really, really brutal game to watch. And again, we've talked about injuries, and I feel like, this is the point in that season that depth plays, you know, plays such a key role.
Very much so.
You have BYU starting their, backup quarterback, which I think a lot of us kind of wanted to see that transition happen anyway.
See what the future holds in store, kind of a deal.
Right. But when you throw a kid that's getting his first FBS start on the road with, you know, really minimal help across the board, it resulted in what it did. You know, the offense couldn't move the ball. And that was not because of our backup quarterback. I thought that Jake played really well and brought some unique, you know, scrambling and throws on the run and some things that we haven't gotten to see from Slovis. But I mean, everybody's got to be better. Like, the defense has showed that they can play at an elite level, I think. Or maybe not elite, but, you know, like pretty good, especially compared to what we've been used to. So, I don't know, offensive line, it's just effort. That's what I would say is the kind of key key phrase. Like, guys across the board, especially on the offensive line, like technique, blocking scheme, just hustle.
I know
it's all got to be a lot better.
I know you on Twitter this last week were calling for a specific coach's job who coaches a certain position that you have mentioned here.
Yeah, I think for any Power 5 team that is going to be playing the game of football, you can't be like a sub 125 team in rushing yards, third down conversion rate, average starting position, like yardage to gain on third down, a bunch of these things that because we have no run game, it changes like the dynamic of the entire offense and makes it so you are really one dimensional. And then once you get a pass rush in there, you know, it just limits what you can do. So I think BYU's got it's just the grade, the average grade, for the offensive line has progressively gotten worse. And I think they need to make a Power 5 offensive line coach higher. So, and I don't anticipate that position is going to be the same as it is next year. I mean, truly, I think.
Well, I mean, BYU did, you know, do a really great job with their coaching change this last year. You know, with Jay Hill.
Yeah,
obviously, not watching necessarily every game, but, you know, just kind of when I have the opportunity, sort of a deal. I could see the difference immediately. You know, first couple games of the season, the non-conference slate, I saw the difference. Jay Hill's amazing. You know, credit to him. So, hopefully, that'll happen for you guys. You guys can make a good hire there. Well, Jason, I'm going to transition here in a really funny way here. You were talking about your backup quarterback named Jake and or Jacob, and as it happens, I had my team, the Utes, had their own running with a former BYU quarterback named Jacob. Yep. That being Jacob Conover, of the Arizona State Sun Devils. And I want to talk about that game first, just because I had that nice little transition there,
and it's more pleasant to talk about.
Yeah, and it's more fun. We got to see, obviously they had their starter out there, and, you know, he didn't last very long. He got hurt, which you never want to see happen, but then, you know, Conover had to come in. And let me just tell you, I can see why Kalani was not a fan of him. I actually remember asking you about it here on this podcast, and you kind of were like, I don't think Kalani, doesn't have much faith in him. I see why. I fully see why, you know, in Kalani you should trust, sort of thing, because that guy was not the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Anyways, so, he just doesn't have it. And it's disappointing to see. Like, don't get it. Like, we won't get it twisted. Jake's a great kid. Jacob Conover is, like, a super great person. Way nice, you know, was full, I'm sure, diehard, bleed blue, you know, when he was, when he was here. So it's kind of a bummer to see him not succeed at this kind of next level, and and especially where he was a good high school quarterback that had a lot of hype. It's just another, like, people, like, the advantage, quote unquote, with missions is the biggest load of crap I've ever heard. I genuinely believe that it kills some players' careers because they just can't get back to playing shape.
Yeah, and the same physicality,
form,
same
sharpness,
sort of shape.
Right?
Yeah, and maybe that's true. But anyways, so one thing I particularly like about the Arizona State game is it was a really nice opportunity to help you try and forget about the Oregon game. And the Oregon game was not pleasant. It's the same score, actually, to BYU versus Texas, you know, which, you know, they happened. They were played at the same time, you know, similar ranked opponent. I believe, you know, Texas was ranked 7 at the time and Oregon was ranked 8. So, you know, very similar feel to it, similar opponent, and the game's played out, at least scoreboard-wise, very similar, right? You know, when you look at the stats, Utah, it looks like Utah didn't do very poorly. You'd probably guess that the Utes were at least somewhat competitive, but, you know, that's more of the credit to the defense. You know, they did pretty well, I think, you know, given the circumstances. And just the offense just couldn't keep up. They really just were outmatched in that one. And that's hard to watch, you know, and it's hard to, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking, especially with all the fanfare of that particular week. You know, we had a, you know, game day was coming. You know, you were kind of Salt Lake City was kind of the center of the football world that week, the college football experience. And I'll admit, I went there. I went to game day. It was fun. You know, the game. And so, you know, it's kind of just that letdown. But it was nice to, you know, kind of bounce back with Arizona State. Now, that's not saying very much because Arizona State is probably one of the worst Power 5 teams of the year. And that's not due to their coach. I actually really like their new head coach.
I think he's going to build a culture there. He's going to
exactly,
be good.
And you can definitely tell that's what he's focusing on. And I hope the administration down there will give him some time. You know, I really think kudos to the University of Arizona for giving Jed Fish the time to do exactly that. And I hope that I believe it's Coach Dillingham. I hope they give him, you know, plenty of time to do exactly what he seems to be focusing on right now. But as it is at the moment, you know, they're not a very good team, and so it's kind of nice to just see the Utes, you know, bounce back and hopefully kind of get the, you know, use it as a get right game. Now, Jason, a pretty big piece of news happened this week, you know, right there in the middle of the week. And it was that the Big 12 Conference, and this released their 2024 through 2027 conference schedules. Now, no dates were given, no kind of what weeks were posted along with this, but we do know who in the conference is playing who with the four corner schools entering and Texas and Oklahoma exiting, Jason. And I feel we would be remiss to not talk about this because this is the first piece of news that we can react to that will concern both of our teams in the same conference, Jason. So what do you say we kind of go over this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, obviously, you and I are going to have, you know, taking a different look here, but I'm overall very happy with this schedule, right? They kind of did it a little weird, you know, no pods officially, no divisions officially, right? And it's not necessarily you know, you play this team on the road in 24, so therefore you get them in 25. It's not necessarily that exact back and forth. Sometimes, you know, taking Utah for example, you know, in 24, you play, we play Oklahoma State on the road in 24, and we don't get them at home until, I believe, 2027. So, I mean, there's a 2 years full gap in there, right? So that's, I mean, so there are a couple oddities in there, but overall, I'm actually very pleased with this schedule. You know, it's somewhat regionalized, I felt. I'm not sure if anyone, I know I pointed this out to you at the time, but I noticed that three of the four closest schools to both BYU and Utah, obviously each other, respectively, Colorado and the two Arizonas, both of us end up playing at least three, if not all four, of the, you know, of those closest schools every single one of these 4 years. So, even though they didn't necessarily do a pod in exact, you know, exactly a pod structure, it looks like they tried
right.
to keep it reachable.
And that actually was that was actually like one of my main points was the organization of the
yeah.
like the scheduling is really unique. And I use the term pseudopod. I kind of like that
yeah.
where it's like, okay, let's take these regional schools that have rivalries and closeness, and let's have them play each other quite a bit. But the way that they set this up actually sets BYU up quite well and Utah to be able to play other schools in the conference. You're seeing with some of the kind of scheduling that teams in conference aren't playing like other teams in their conference for like 5 or 6 years. I don't know, that makes it less fun to have a conference. It's kind of more like your conference is your division and that's what like you really care about and stuff.
Yeah.
So I really like I know some people have complained, some like there's been really kind of polar opposite takes on this, but I love this
yeah.
schedule. It makes like scheduling setup, I think it makes a lot of sense with to have those pseudos.
Especially because Jason, the ACC also released their schedule, I believe, that same day, right? They went first, you know, earlier in the morning. And looking at that schedule, especially looking at the three new teams they just added, being SMU, Cal, and Stanford, that schedule is a mess. That schedule just, oh my gosh, you can definitely tell that conference is not going to last very long just by its very existence, right? Just by how it's structured, you can definitely tell a lot of people are going to be upset and angry with the amount of coast-to-coast travel and the inconveniences of it that, like, you know, adding Cal and Stanford caused, right? And I really think they, you know, by keep using, you know, as you call it, the pseudopod method, and yet still kind of allowing you to, you know, have these fun matchups and play everyone pretty quickly, you know? Even if, you know, you have that weird couple years gap before you play them that second time, you know, there's still just this, I don't know, it's honestly, it's a really nice in-between of what I think all of our expectations
yep.
were. Right,
a blend.
A lot of us, I think, were hoping for maybe a pod or a division structure to minimize travel. They did that pretty well. Looking across the board here, it looks like everyone plays all those closer teams to them most every year, right? But it's still kind of spread out, right? And you get these fun matchups, like both Utah and BYU are headed to Central Florida next year on the road.
That's gonna be so
and,
fun.
Let me tell you what. Watch out, Universal Orlando, because because I am definitely going. The wife has already approved it.
We also have made plans with like our little BYU Call of Duty squad, and
yeah.
so we're legitimately planning to go. Wife's signed off on it because I mean, who doesn't want to go Disney, right? I mean,
exactly.
So,
exactly.
It is gonna be super fun. I'm stoked for that matchup.
Oh, absolutely. I am, and like I said, I'm stoked. I'm stoked to see all these, you know, new teams. Like, I'm really pumped that Utah gets to play Oklahoma State next year. Looking at what they've accomplished this year, whether they, you know, get to the Big 12 championship or win it or not. Honestly, I can just tell that's going to be a fun game, and I'm really looking forward to a game like that. I think, and one thing I really like about this, Jason, is the one thing about this schedule that I said I did not want to happen was I did not want at any point the Utes to play in both Fort Worth at TCU and in Provo.
Bullet dodged.
The same year. I did not want that, and I didn't care because we had that in the Mountain West. We had them both at home, and the next year both on the road, and I hated it. I wanted it split out because those every year, at least in the Mountain West, those were the two toughest games. And yeah, it was nice in the years where we got them both at home, but that would make it extra hard the next year, right? And the year before, when they'd both be on the road because those are your two toughest games, and it stinks when it's on the road, you know? And so somehow, you know, we play them three times. We get them twice in Salt Lake and once in Fort Worth. And it just so happens to be that one time in Fort Worth, it just so happens to be, I believe, in 26 when the Cougars come to Salt Lake City. So very pleased with that. My only gripe with this schedule is what they did with Baylor. And I know we already had it scheduled, right, for 24 in this next year. But, I mean, we also had BYU and Houston scheduled in this time frame. And those games were placed as conference games. But for some bizarre reason that I can't really wrap my head around, aside from the fact that I think one of the two schools just refused to decide to go out and schedule another opponent, right? But for some reason, in 24, we are playing 10 conference games, but one of them, being Baylor, does not count. Which, I mean, come on, that's weird. That's odd. I know there's a precedent for it. I believe back when, Missouri and Arkansas joined the SEC, I believe, is the precedent. But, you know, don't quote me on that. That's just what I've heard. But regardless, it's just, it's so weird, and I hate it. I dislike it just fundamentally, you know? Because again, BYU and Houston weren't rescheduled as conference games. And I don't know. I just don't like it. It's my one gripe with this schedule. And I know it doesn't affect you, Jason, but
it is it bothers me. I mean, it's a valid gripe, because it is a little, like, not a little. It is funky. It just is. Like, no doubt.
Now, Jason, I feel like we should mention one more thing before we move on. And it's the protected rivalry. Now, I have seen quite a few opinions on this. There were only four protected rivalries. The Holy War, BYU-Utah. The Sunflower Showdown, Kansas-Kansas State. The, what is it called? The Revivalry, which is Baylor-TCU. And the Duel in the Desert, or the Territorial Cup, Arizona-Arizona State. Only four protected rivalries. Now, I don't think it's an argument that those are the four biggest in-conference rivalries. That is not controversial at all, I don't think. But I know a lot of the, what do they call them? The Hateful Eight, the original, the kind of the OG remaining Big 12 schools, a lot of their fans are upset about this. That those are the only rivalries, you know, to get protected. What are your thoughts about this?
Like, I get the, like, I think the slight frustration is valid to some extent, but you protected the true rivalries and not the games that are just have been conference games for, you know, a couple decades. That's my opinion on it. I think the rivalries that they protected are great. And again, it allows you to do this scheduling where, you know, teams from out east and Texas get to come and play, you know, these mountain region states opponents. So, and again, this is 4 years of scheduling. Like, this is not a lifetime. This is how it's going to be set up for the rest of the time. We have no idea what it's going to look like at the end of that 4 years. The ACC deal.
Heck, we don't even know if it's going to last 4 years before it changes.
So you don't
again.
Know, like, the ACC deal, you know, expires, and we could have a whole new looking conference by then, and then you have to edit the matrix and kind of redo it. So, I thought that they protected the correct rivalries. A couple notes that from the scheduling that I thought were good or kind of unique for BYU.
Yeah.
So I really like these first two, and the conference will change. Teams will get better or worse by then, but these first 2 years, BYU does what I really like doing, which is they play the toughest teams at home and they play a lighter road schedule. And that's the way I like it. I want to play the tougher teams in Lavelle Edwards because that environment is so good. But listen to these home teams.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Utah, TCU, West Virginia. Like, that slate of getting those guys at home for those first 2 years is yeah. really good. Like, I think Iowa State, Cincinnati, Tech, who we just beat, Colorado, Arizona, ASU. Obviously, you've got, you know, Utah yeah. in there, which is going to be tough, and Baylor, UCF. It just, like, it's the front half of this is set up really well for BYU to do well, I think. And then yeah. I also really liked, this was my, I mean, if you're looking for your unique take from it that I didn't see from a whole lot of people, I really like that on the years that BYU only has four games at home versus the five home games on the, you know, alternating schedule, that we ended up with Utah as one of those four conference home games. I just really like how that kind of balances it out. You know, you may not have the craziest home schedule, and you get that one less game, but at least one of those games on your season ticket is Utah, is the rivalry game. So,
yeah. So you feel, yeah, and that's honestly a real benefit, because I'm looking at the conference schedule, you know, the matrix that they have here for the whole conference, and I believe we are the only protected rivalry that has that happen, right? Yes. So it looks like wait, hold on. No. Okay. Yeah, we are the only protected rivalry, it looks like, here that has that. Oh wait, no. Baylor and TCU also have it, but Kansas State does not. Arizona yeah, State does
I
not.
I think it's
in so BYU, Utah, Baylor, and TCU both have that occurrence with the, you know, the four games, but it's your rival at home, you know, in away games.
And like,
you know,
it's not five, that's not right? like you know, a groundbreaking massive deal, but I do think it's a nice kind of added bonus or benefit for, you know, what your season ticket holders to be able to be like, we only
absolutely.
Have four conference games. But one of them's Utah.
And the fact that it happens to two out of the four, it makes me think that that's probably not necessarily by design. It might just right. be a coincidence. But you're right. It is. That is nice. That is really nice. Now, my take with the protected rivalry is a really quick one, and it's that, I don't know, if the fans are upset about it, I mean, like, I don't know why I don't know why it's that important, because, I mean, you know, Kansas State and Iowa State, you know, that rivalry is secondary. It might have a name, and a pretty cool name, Farmageddon. That's pretty cool, a cool name. But it's also just like, Iowa State fans, their biggest rival is Iowa, right? Kansas State, their biggest rival is Kansas, right? And so it's just like, yeah, that is a smaller rivalry. It's a secondary rivalry that might not necessarily get, that's only going to be played three out of the four years that we have here, but it's just like, I don't know. It's not the conference's fault that most of the team, that a lot of the teams in this conference, their major rival is outside of the conference, right? Like, it's not their fault that Pitt is West Virginia's rival and not Cincinnati, right? It's not the Big 12's fault that Oklahoma State's biggest rival is Oklahoma and not Texas Tech, right? It's not their fault. And so it's just like, I don't know, maybe this opportunity of few protected rivals will help create more opportunities for rivalries to be protected in the future. Maybe, I don't think so. They've had plenty of time to establish those rivalries if they were going to, but who knows? It could happen, and maybe it might. I don't know.
Well, why don't we've given our hot takes on the scheduling for the conference.
Yeah. Of course.
We're going to give some hot takes on, in general, on the state of, like, college Ooh. Football, if that makes sense.
Jason, let me just say, we do some fun segments here, and I think this is why I like the end of the season episodes, because now that we've gotten in a groove, we can do fun stuff like this. College football hot
college
takes.
College football
Let's go.
Hot takes. So, I would be remiss if I did not include a uniform shout-out, because, like, uniforms are half of the reason I love college football, but alternate uniforms in college football are fun. College football is meant to be fun. You know what hasn't been fun? The NFL for like 10 years or whatever, that they have limited teams to like a home and away and maybe one alternate. Like, and no helmet color changes, nothing. I think that alternate uniforms add a ton to the atmosphere of games. It gets younger fans excited. You may be 45, 50, and be like, I don't care. They could wear pink for all I care as long as they win. That there is a distinct separation between how a team actually plays on the field and the time that is invested by the players and coaching staff compared to what the equipment team, which it's their whole job to do uniforms, helps get on the field. And it's for us. It's for the fans. Ohio State is pulling out an all-silver uniform this weekend. Looks so good.
Yeah.
BYU's got their blackout that they're doing this week. And I saw an exchange on Twitter that there was a guy that said, I have literally never cared about BYU uniforms, like BYU's uniforms, pretty much in my life except for the tan. But he said that his son, out of the blue, his like 11-year-old son texted and said, yo, did you see that BYU's pulling out the blackouts? So for all you old heads that don't get it, I don't think I could explain it in a way that you would, but I do think you need to understand that for recruits, it's not going to be the deciding factor, but is it going to add to the overall vibe of the school and add to the fun of doing photo shoots and such? Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm a big 100% alternate uniform fan guy. So there's my first hot take. And this could be like a whole segment.
Very hot.
But
yeah.
And I mean, there's too much to get into, and we would be here a while, and I want to not bore you guys, but the Power 2 conferences that everyone props up, Big Ten, SEC, are weak. They are weak. Whoa.
So get the fire extinguisher, hurry! We gotta flame and hot take.
Everyone banks on those two conferences being like the leaders of college football, and that, you know, in a couple years we should just, you know, ditch all of the teams in college football and just have, you know, one league with like 15 teams or 20 teams, like a pseudo NFL, and that's the direction that like we should go. But the SEC and the Big Ten have some of the worst teams in the country, not just Power 5, but G5 as well, playing college football in their conferences and riding off of the coattails. And that's what they bank on is
Rutgers-Vanderbilt.
That they just completely bank on two teams from each conference doing all the heavy lifting.
Well, three in the Big Ten.
Kind of.
Yeah, three kind in the SEC too. I mean, okay, Georgia, LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan.
See, but so I would three. Say I'd Penn say State and LSU are in a tier lower.
I mean, I'll take Penn State, yes. But I mean, LSU has won a national championship
and then what happened the next year?
Yeah, but I mean, you win a national championship in a decade, I think that still earns you the right to call yourself.
They're not on the same level as Alabama and Georgia. I just don't see it. But like Alabama's on college. And so my main point is with this, is that college football powers ebb and flow, and they have throughout history. Alabama, I'm not buying stock on Alabama right now. Nick Saban's getting older. What happens when he retires? They're already on kind of a downward trend in the SEC.
Well, I mean, once everyone was starting to pay their players all
it
of a sudden.
Evened it out a little bit, you know?
Their edge.
Texas A&M yeah. got a little bit of an edge, maybe. I don't know. I just feel like that hype for those two conferences is a little overblown, and college football changes, man. Who is good is it's fun when it changes and when it's different. And you look at a team like Clemson who dominated for you know how many years, and now they're struggling at like they're like. Five Poor and four, Dabo. Right? 4-4 or something.
Five and four. Yeah,
that's my other hot take. I don't have a lot of meat behind it, I guess, but I just hate that everyone hypes up those conferences like they're some crazy, intimidating thing when you've got like Vanderbilt and teams like that kind of dragging them down. Mm.
No, I mean, completely agreed. I mean, what has Maryland ever accomplished, you know? you know, Jason, those were some pretty good hot takes. All right, so here's some of mine. I think it's high time that bowl eligibility be increased to 7, maybe even 8
Whoa.
Wins. Now, yep, I know. And I say that as someone who loves the bowl game season. I love watching bowl games. I mean, heck, I'll watch a bowl game that I have no idea, you know, what conferences are involved. I'll just watch them. I'll watch them all. I will. But you got to admit, you know, there's too many. I don't know. It just seems like it's less of an accomplishment than it used to be, right? Like, bowl games used to really feel like something. And in a world where it's, especially in the Power 5, Power 4 going forward, it really feels like it's playoff or bust, right? And so I think a solution to that is to make getting bowl eligible a lot harder, right? Make it a lot more, you know, something that not every, you know, halfway decent, you know, every mediocre team can do, right? And I think that is by increasing it. After all, 6 wins was the standard back when there was 10, 11-game seasons. You had to win a majority of your games. You had to have a winning season in order to qualify for a bowl game. And now that there's 12 games, you know, in the regular season, I just feel like, you know, going 500, I don't know. I don't think that's good enough in a lot of cases. And, you know, maybe, trust me, like, when you miss a bowl game, I'm well aware what that feels like, you know. Utah in my lifetime has missed some bowl games some years, and it's not a fun feeling, you know. But I don't know. I just feel like we need to raise the bar in order to kind of give bowl games their value back, you know, to uninflate their value, to deflate. Deflate is the word I'm looking for. But yeah, so that's my hot.
I like the 7 wins idea, or at the very least, like decrease the number of games that are played. And maybe that, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see what happens as we get to the 12-team playoff, what kind of happens to bowl games in general. Because it is sad that it's kind of become, I mean, you have teams that are even taking New Year's 6 games as, like, meaning nothing. You know, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Turning down, like, unless we're in the playoffs, we will not be, you know, going to play in the Rose Bowl. Like, that's crazy, dude. Yeah. That is crazy. So the value, I mean, college football shifting, and not in a good way in some cases. And I feel like the value of bowl games and kind of the fun spirit of college football is died a little bit with that. So I think that's a valid, absolutely, fair point.
Yeah. All right, Jason. Second hot take. This will be my last one. And maybe this is hot, maybe this isn't. I don't know, but this is just how I feel about it. I know just because with the schedule and with the, you know, and the rivalries, you know, got everyone kind of talking about, you know, when, with the Holy War being a protected rivalry, when are they going to play? You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, I bet they still keep it in September. No, it's got to be played on Thanksgiving weekend. And let me tell you what, not here's my hot take. Not all major rivalry games need to be played Thanksgiving weekend for them to matter. Right? Now, let me share this. Right? There are a plethora of major rivalry games throughout the year, throughout college football, that are not played the last week of this regular season, right? You have Bedlam, which just occurred, right? Just this week. Here we are, early November. You know, Oklahoma State. You have the Red River Rivalry, another one with Oklahoma, another major rivalry. That occurred back in October. The Border War with Oregon, Washington. That's another one. Obviously, played middle of the season. USC, Notre Dame, also occurred in October, right? So, now I'm not saying that it's, you know, the Holy War should be played in September. I hated it when it was in September. It's too early for that. But I'm just saying, it doesn't need to be Thanksgiving Day weekend for me to be happy about it, right? And let me tell you what, Jason, the conference is going to want to hype up these protected rivalries that they have, right? Because they're the biggest ones they have left. And if all of them are played Thanksgiving weekend, that doesn't give each one its own kind of spotlight, right? It also means they're competing with at least two really big rivalries with the game, being Ohio State, Michigan, and the Iron Bowl, Alabama, Auburn, which are two major, major rivalries, arguably the two biggest rivalries in college football. And those are always played the last week of the season. And ultimately, whatever rivalries are played Thanksgiving weekend are going to have to compete for television slots around those games, because those are the big ones that everyone watches. And so, just saying, if the Holy War is played, you know, Halloween weekend, whenever that is, I mean, what other rivalries are we competing with there? You know, like, do you know what I'm saying?
I'll counter with this. I won't say much. Listen to this, okay. Slate.
Sure.
Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Oregon, Oregon State. Georgia, Georgia Tech, Florida State, Florida, Washington State, Washington, Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky, Louisville, Utah, Colorado, Arizona State, NC State, North Carolina, Ohio State, Michigan. That's awesome, man. I love the tradition of rivalry week. I think it's a lot of fun when everybody's all stacked up playing their rival. And if you're competing with other teams, like if there's, you know, one game that you're looking forward to and like, okay, I'm going to tune into Auburn, Alabama, and it's 30-7, you're just going to switch off it. And guess what? You got 5 other rivalry games to pick from. So I actually really like rivalry week personally. I think it's a lot of fun.
Hey, and I'm not backing out it either. I love it. Not Utah, Colorado, mind you. That's not the rivalry I'm talking about. I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying it doesn't need to happen. The Holy War doesn't need to be
I think it does.
Thanksgiving
it heightens the
weekend.
Stakes to like just an insane level for every program. You want to beat your rival that weekend. Mm. And a lot of times it's conference like championship implications, playoffs now, like it
All
makes
right.
it fun.
That's I mean it's a fair argument. Jason,
it's mainly
I'll give
the
you that.
End of the season.
I will
thing.
Give
that's
you
the
that.
Biggest thing for me. It's like it should yeah. be played as the last game. I like when rivalries are done that way, and that's why I like Rivalry Week. So,
And I get it. I do. I trust me. I get it. I'm just saying it doesn't need to be that way. All right, Jason. Let's. I think we've spent plenty of time here on our hot takes and our reactions here. So let's get into our predictions. Right. So, first we got a review.
Do we, though?
This was... I think so. So this was not a great week for points on. I mean, what, but then again, when is we've been really bad.
We're
at
so
this.
Good.
Just overall, we've not been good. So, the first, I'll say the outcome. BYU at Texas was a loss, 6-35. Jason, you predicted a loss, 50-20. I predicted a loss, 42-17. Now, Jason, I hate to break it to you, but I'm
you
closer.
You are closer. But have we set a precedent of not awarding points when the spread is so big and the game turns out so different? Give me
okay,
the scores again.
I think there's a
Give
spirit
me the scores
to
again.
It, though. Okay, so actual score, 6-35. You predicted Texas 50, BYU 20. 30-point
margin.
I predicted, 30-point margin. I predicted Texas 42, BYU 17. About a 30-point margin. Well, 25.
That just, I don't know, man. I don't know. That feels pretty far.
I mean, 29-point margin, which was the actual score, about, 25-point margin, which is what I predicted. That's close enough for my taste.
BYU did not get anywhere close to scoring 17 in that game, though.
I know. That's true. But, these are the kind of things you can't... I think the spirit of the prediction was true, though.
I mean, in that instant, the spirit of my prediction was true, too.
Yeah, but mine was closer.
I don't know.
I'm going to take the point, but I'm going to relinquish you the point also to the Utah-Arizona State game. Because we both got the West Virginia and Oregon predictions wrong. We won't even go over those because we both we predicted two wins there. They were both losses.
I told you that was going to happen.
Utah-Arizona
guys,
State.
As soon as I pick Utah,
did.
They're going to get blown out. And that's exactly what happened.
Right. Exactly. Now... we got Utah-Arizona State completely wrong. We both did not give Utah enough credit and gave Arizona State far too much. Actual score was 55-3. Jason, you predicted 31-18. I predicted 27-16.
Wow.
I know. Now, I think that is the should be the no one gets a point. But in fairness, your spread was closer. So I'm willing to give you the point. I think no one should get it, but I am willing to give it to you on principle.
We just need to we need to come up with a better way to calculate points.
Yeah, we'll do it we'll better next out. Year. We do need a better way.
Like
we need a better way.
Subtracting the score you picked from the score that they got. And I don't know. We'll come up with something.
Yeah. We'll come up with something better.
But you can give me your pity point, but it's not going to matter because it is... if I win, two points, we could tie it up here. So it is still within shooting distance, but the
you
way
are
that
within
the season
shooting
is
distance
gone,
here.
Man. I don't know.
All right, Jason. It's time. It is now time to make your predictions. I'll go first. Okay, I'll start us off. BYU versus Iowa State.
The right? biggest game of the season for BYU is this weekend. That's what I'll say. I think it
you
is
think
the
so?
Biggest win. Oklahoma State. You're not picking up those wins very likely with the teams that have showed up on the road in the Big 12. You're not getting Oklahoma State. You're not less is great, but this is the game. This is for bowl eligibility. It is.
Okay. All right. So with a lot on the line here, Iowa State has been an up and down team. Frankly, I'm gonna go with my gut. I'm gonna say it's a win. I'm gonna say this is tough. Looking at the offensive output here. I'm going to go All right, I'm going to go barn burner. I'm going to go 14-10. Yeah, I'm going to go barn burner. It's, you know, I'm going to go slow and steady wins the race. I'm going to go 14-10.
I think BYU can get it done again. Like, I think, I just feel like Lavelle Edwards is great, and we genuinely, we make it happen, man. I'm going to go 17-7.
Really? Okay. 10-point win. Okay. So kind of in the same vein, lower scoring game, but Cougs get it done. Okay. All right. I can respect that. All right, Jason, now we come to, Utah's most difficult game left on their schedule at Washington. I would love it if, you know, we expose the Huskies here, end their perfect season. I would love it. Utah has spoiled somebody, a team's playoff run 2 years in a row, and I would love it if this could happen again. I really want to say it will happen. It could, in theory. Washington has kind of been a little inconsistent recently, ever since they played Oregon, and I couldn't tell you why. I haven't watched them enough. But I just can't, in good faith, you know, after that Oregon loss, Oregon trouncing is really what it was. I just can't, in good faith, predict a win here for the Utes. So I'm going to go a loss of, I'm going to say, 10-35. Yeah, I feel like that's right. No, hold on. I'm going to go 13-35. I feel like that's, yeah, that's about right. That's about where I'm feeling
okay.
It.
Okay. Man, that makes me want to adjust mine a little bit. I'm going to drop it down. I'm going 42-17.
Okay.
No, I'm swapping it back. 42-20 is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah,
42-20. All right. All right. Okay. I can, and that's a pretty similar spread. I guess you just have one touchdown each, more there. So,
like,
all right.
Washington's defense, I don't feel like is that great, but Washington's offense is also very good. So,
very great. Yeah, that's true. All right, and this might be where you make up one of your points here. I could easily see that being true. All right, makes me want to think about switching it, but I think I'm going to stick to my guns here. I have trusted my guts, and that has put me in the lead so far. So, okay, BYU versus Oklahoma. They get the Sooners at home. I think coming off of, if they get bowl eligible versus Iowa State, I think this will be a letdown. I think, now, the Sooners have been, I don't know, I think they got exposed a little bit by Oklahoma State. Then again, it was a rivalry. So, a little hard to gauge where they're at. They did get a win over Texas, but that also was a rivalry. Alright, I'm going to say it's a loss. I think it's, I'm going to say it's, I'm going to go 14 Cougars to, I'm going to say, I'm going to go 38. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to go 38-14. I just think I haven't seen very much offensively from BYU these last couple weeks. You know, when facing kind of a good defensive off and offensive output, Oklahoma looks like a pretty balanced team to me. They're balanced. And I think whether or not it's at home or away, I think it's a pretty dominating performance by the Sooners.
I'm feeling, we're both trying to edit the same text. I am gonna go, now I'm all mixed up. That was unfortunate timing. I'm going to go, it's a loss as well. I'm going to go 18, 20, no, 31. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I can deal with that. And I'm going to change mine to 35.
Finally, you're taking the overspread on me. That's how you picked up those stupid 2 points. You got undercut me on my scores every time.
Yeah, that's true. Don't worry.
Utah at Arizona.
Utah at Arizona. Second week on the road, I think, after a disappointing loss from Washington. Arizona's a good team. You know, they just reached bowl eligibility for the first time, I believe, since 2017. So they're hyped, but they do have Colorado to beat up on, this next week. And so I think they'll be riding a little high, especially after a loss. Utah will probably drop out of the CFP, top 25. I think that's it. And if not, they'll probably just barely hang on at like 24, 25, depending on, what the actual, score looks like. But I think they'll they'll be at home. I believe it's their senior day. I'm not 100% sure where they play. But anyway, I think they they're riding high, and I think the Utes are looking for a bounce back. I think they'll pull off the win. I think we're looking at I'm going to go 28 to 24. I'm going to go a close game, closer than maybe it should be, but I'm going to go Utes pull out the narrow win. 28-24.
So this is kind of crazy. So listen to these the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks for listen to these scores from the last, I think this is 6 weeks. Lost by or won by 1 point versus Stanford. Lost to number 7 Washington by a score. Lost to Arizona in triple overtime by 2.
They are hold on. Lost to Sorry, Arizona.
Lost
they
to
are
USC.
Who are we talking about?
By 2.
Okay.
In triple overtime.
Okay.
Murdered ranked number 19 Washington State. Beat number 11 Oregon State. And then just topped UCLA, who is also top ranked. So they have 3 straight ranked wins. That is really good.
That's a good record. Although I should say Washington State kind of fell off. I think they got exposed. And I mean, because Arizona State just beat them, and they're not a good team. So do just want to point that out. But the win over UCLA and Oregon State are definite feats. I mean, obviously that's that is what it is.
I'm gonna try, and I gotta pick up a point. I got to. So I'm gonna go. Utah loses that game. Yep.
Really?
I'm gonna say 17-28.
I will say that's not. Yeah, that's not unrealistic. It is on the road. It's your second week on the road. It's possible that Washington kind of kicks us around, and we're just not. To bounce back again on the road could be difficult. And Arizona is a good team. They are, Jed Fish, I really admire what he's done down there. He's got a good set of players. He's got a good, great culture that he's built from the ground up. It's possible. I want to believe in the Utes, and I want to believe in Kyle Whittingham that they can bounce back and go for like an 8-4 season here. But you definitely could be right.
Yeah. I mean, this is why it's why we play, right? You never know what's going to happen. And clearly we don't based on these scores.
I mean, yeah, we've had 10 weeks and I've only scored 6 points, which means I've only gotten 6 predictions out of the 20. Yeah, out of 20. Man. You've gotten 4 out of 20, which means even between the two of us, we are 50%. Between the two of us,
woof.
We are 50%. So, obviously, we're terrible at this, and who really knows? But anyways, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to State of Sports Utah. We have a blast doing this. Please leave us, like, comment. If you guys have any questions or you just want to tell us we're being idiots, please feel free to do that. We seem to actually get a lot of comments about that this week. We really appreciate the feedback. no questions, which is why we got the hot take segment there. But we really appreciate all the, the interactions. And again, we really, love your guys' input and being able to kind of talk about the things you guys like. We're just two guys. We're not famous. We'll probably never get famous for this, but we really appreciate you guys listening.
We'll probably not get famous.
This is more for fun and just a kind of excuse for us to kind of talk football but we appreciate that you guys listen nonetheless. And so please give us a follow. Boost the platform for us if you can. Share it with your friends that like BYU or Utah or just college football in general. I like to hear two idiots, give their dumb input about their respective teams. But thank you so much, and go Utes.
Go Cougs.
Wow, that was delayed.
Thank you for listening to this State of Sports Utah production. SFX technical support provided by Samantha Knight.